This is Atah Durakan returning with the second half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review for Tuesday, November 25th, 2025. We'll start this reading on the obituaries page, A4. Faye Ann Leish Odfrid, 83, passed away peacefully on November 21st at Covenant Living at Windsor Park in Carroll Stream, Illinois. Born on October 20, 1942, in Good Hope, Louisiana, Faye carried a vibrant, joyful spirit throughout her life. She married her high school sweetheart from Leon Godshaw, Sidney Joseph Odfrid Jr., shared more than 5 decades of love and partnership until his passing in 2018. Together, they made their homes in Washington, Illinois, where they raised their 2 children, Amy and Doug, and later in Decatur, Forsyth. After Sid's passing, Faye resided in Valley Park, Missouri, before moving back to Illinois to the Windsor Park community in Carroll Stream. Funeral services will be held at St. Thomas the Apostle Parish in Naperville, Illinois. Ted Blanchard, 89, passed away on November 12th at Casey Rehabilitation and Nursing Center. He was formerly of Moroa, Illinois and Fort Pierce, Florida. He is survived by his wife, Carol Blanchard, and his children, Mark, Elaine, David, Rosemary, Angie, Ted Jr., Roger, and Kathy. He is also survived by 21 grandchildren and 32 great-grandchildren. Per his request, he has been accorded cremation rites and there will be no service. Floyd L. DeClercq, 87, of Decatur, passed away on Thursday, November 20th. Floyd was born on January 23, 1938, in Decatur, the son of Cyril and Catherine Miller DeClercq. He proudly served in the United States Marine Corps. Floyd married Carol Bodeker on January 6, 1933. He retired from the United States Postal Service as a letter carrier after 34 and a half years of service. Floyd is survived by his wife, Carol, daughters Karen and Kay, 3 grandchildren, and 3 great-grandchildren. To honor Floyd's life, visitation will begin at 10 a.m. at St. Paul's Lutheran Church on Wednesday, November 26, followed by a funeral service at 11 a.m. Floyd will be laid to rest after the service at Macon County Memorial Park Cemetery. Memorial donations may be made to St. Paul's Lutheran Church or St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Calvert and Wyckoff Funeral Home Mount Zion is assisting. Natalie Sweet passed away peacefully on November 21st. Natalie moved to San Diego to be closer to her daughter and family after living in Decatur until 2021. She was born on June 6, 1934 in Houston, Texas. Her parents gave her the middle name of Dee, which was quite a coincidence because D-Day was exactly 10 years after her birth date. Surviving Natalie is her daughter Margaret and granddaughters Lindsay and Lily Below. She was preceded in death by her husband Arthur and son Chuck. In lieu of flowers, donations to honor Natalie's memory may be sent to Crohn's and Colitis Foundation or a charity of your choice. Move on to the sports section, page B1, high school football semifinals. Moroa back at state. We're going to start with the photo here because it dominates the page and it's really great. Moroa Forsyth celebrates winning the Class 2A semifinal football game against Arthur Lovington Atwood Hammond in Arthur on Saturday. And what is first noticed is the State of Illinois in blue, bordered by an orange border that says IHSA 2025 State Qualifier. And it's the plaque or trophy that number 9 is holding up, and he's surrounded. He doesn't have his helmet on, but he has goggles on, his white jersey, blue pants, and he's surrounded by his teammates. They're celebrating with him. Most have their helmets on. Some have them off. It's a beautiful, bright, sunny day, and they're all celebrating. Joseph Ressler, Herald and Review. On to the article, Trojans beat ALAH for 12th trip, 10th under Justice. Will Foley, Arthur. Moroa Forsyth is back in the 2A state championship game. The Trojans controlled all 3 phases of the game Saturday afternoon and took care of Arthur Lovington Atwood Hammond in a 28-6 final to advance. This is what high school football is all about, Moroa head coach Josh Justice said post-game. If our kids can make some memories, learn how to deal with adversity, and be winners from life 20 years from now, the win-loss record just hopefully keeps them with a little motivation. The result marks Moroa Forsyth's 12th state final appearance in school history. This is the school's 10th appearance in the last 19 years under Josh Justice since his first championship appearance. Our leadership has passed it down over the years, and it never gets old, Justice said. I mean, 10 trips to the state in the last 19 years is pretty phenomenal. Maroa took possession first, which it usually likes to do to score and set the tone, but got stopped on a turnover on downs. After trading punts afterward, the Trojans made their first big play of the day when Grady Rose intercepted Marcus Otto's pass near midfield. With star senior wide receiver and 2A first-team All-State selection Zach Smith on the sideline with an ankle injury, fellow senior receiver Caden Birmingham stepped up. Following the interception, he took a screen pass just enough to convert a 3rd and 15, and move the chains, then executed a stop-and-go route for a 32-yard gain to ALAH's 1-yard line. Jordan Waters ran in the touchdown to start the second quarter for the game's first score. Maroa got a sack on third down to force a punt on the next possession, and the snap was botched, leading to a short field for the Trojans. Birmingham made a diving catch for a 35-yard gain into scoring position, and a few plays later, Ryan Shepard tossed a shovel pass to Troy Pulliam to get a 14-0 lead. I thought Caden Birmingham stepped up and had a huge game for us back-to-back weeks now, Justice said. The Knights didn't go down easy, though. Senior receiver Cash Hale spun off defenders for a 27-yard gain on third down, and later in the drive caught a 6-yard pass to score shortly before halftime. The extra point was blocked for a 14-6 margin. ALAH got the ball to start the second half and attempted a trick play reverse pass on the first play of the half, but it fell incomplete. After a punt, Shepard led a methodical drive and he finished it himself with a 3-yard run for a 21-6 lead. The Knights' last chance at making things interesting was in the early fourth quarter when they reached a 4th and 1 on Moroa's 15-yard line. But the Trojans suffered a run short of the sticks. I'm sorry, the Trojans stuffed a run short of the sticks. Moroa then drove the field, and facing its own 4th and 1, Shepard took a keeper for a 42-yard touchdown to seal it at 28-6. Our quarterback is a dude, Justice said. He settled in, found the guys, and started making plays. They were really crisp in the second half. For ALAH, history repeated itself similar to 2004, a 12-0 start for a home semifinal game that resulted in a loss. The Knights had a chance to make their first ever title game, but came up short. I will remember just the relationships with these kids, head coach Ryan Jefferson said. I had them in the 7th grade COVID year when they came in as freshmen. It was just really interesting to get to know them again, and it's just gotten stronger ever since. Maroa Forsyth will face Wilmington in the 2A state championship on Friday in Normal. The Trojans are looking for their 3rd ever state title. They won 2A in 2006 and 1A in 2012. This also marks back-to-back title appearances for Maroa. Last year it lost 47-0 to Chicago Christian, and Shepard broke his collarbone in the contest. We really don't live in the past. We're about consistency, Justice said. I've got a lot of really good kids that are willing to do anything we ask them to do, and I'm proud of that. Friday's championship game will mark an impressive feat for some Trojans. 4-year varsity players like Shepard and Smith will have played 54 of 56 possible career games, with 2 semifinal and 2 final appearances. And there's a small black and white photo here. Arthur Lovington Atwood Hammond's Caden Blunk scores a touchdown during the Class 2A semifinal football game against Maroa Forsyth and Arthur on Saturday, November 22nd. And what we notice first is the receiver is at an angle, probably leaning to his right, maybe 20 degrees, both hands up around the ball. And we see only from his knees up, and he has full possession of it. Since it's black and white, the sky looks very washed out. In the background, there's very close to the sideline. The fans are turning and looking. Really nice action shot. Joseph Ressler, Herald and Reviews, photo credit. College football, Illinois. Wisconsin upsets number 21, Illini. Tamira Madsen, Associated Press, Madison, Wisconsin. Darian Dupree had 131 yards rushing and 2 touchdowns on 17 carries to lead Wisconsin to a 24-0 win over Illinois on Saturday night. Dupree became Wisconsin's first 100-yard rusher this season. Dupree scored on an 84-yard run, the Badgers' longest play from scrimmage this season, to push Wisconsin's lead to 17-7 in the third quarter. Dupree's first touchdown of the season and second of his career. Darrell Peterson had three of Wisconsin's five sacks of Illini quarterback Luke Altmaier. Illinois finished with 298 total yards. Peterson talked to his teammates in the locker room at halftime and said he didn't want the Badgers to become complacent. I wanted us to keep that killer instinct, Peterson said. Let's finish them, and we got them where we want them. Let's not be happy because we scored some touchdowns in the first half. We had a pretty good first half, and I wanted to play a complete game, a fourth quarter game. I think we did that tonight. Altmaier went 21 of 35 for 248 yards and added 20 yards rushing and a touchdown on 13 carries. Charlie Jarvis tackled the Illinois punter following a bad snap, and Wisconsin took over at the 14. Four plays later, Dupree took a direct snap and ran 4 yards for a TD run that increased Wisconsin's lead to 24-10. The Badgers, 4-7 overall and 2-6 in Big Ten play, got on the scoreboard first as Vinny Anthony rushed 6 yards for a TD in the first quarter. Nathaniel Vakos kicked a season-long 47-yard field goal to give Wisconsin a 10-7 lead with 14 seconds left in the first. The loss snapped a two-game winning streak for the Illini, who are 7-4 overall and 4-4 in the Big Ten Conference and number 21 college football playoff. Illinois coach Brett Bielema said the Illini lacked consistency in the second half. Coming out in the second half, we actually made a defensive stop or two, and I thought we got a stop and got our offense back out there. We'd be able to convert, Bielema said. But we ended up doing things to shoot ourselves in the foot with a lack of composure, which is uncharacteristic of what we've done. It was very frustrating overall. The Badgers shaved 9 minutes and 30 seconds off the clock, going 80 yards and 16 plays on their first quarter scoring drive. Carter Smith went 4 for 4 for 40 yards during the drive, which was the Badgers' longest scoring drive of the season. Wisconsin coach Luke Fickell said Wisconsin's effort on offense was indicative of what he'd like to see the Badgers accomplish after the game. That is old-school Wisconsin football, said Fickell of the long first quarter drive, but then to see a 75-80-yard run, those big plays, that not only generates momentum but gives your team a boost and makes teams play you in a different way. That was a really good game for us tonight in all three phases. Wisconsin leads the series 46-39 with 7 ties as well. The takeaway, Illinois. Saturday's loss snapped a 2-game losing streak for Illinois and Illini coach Brett Bielema, who is the Badgers coach from 2006 to 2012. I think that means a 2-game winning streak, not a losing streak, because they've been on a 2-game winning streak. All right. He led Wisconsin to 3 consecutive Rose Bowl appearances during those 7 seasons. Wisconsin, the 84-yard TD run for Dupree was the longest for Wisconsin since an 89-yard TD by Ches Malusi in 2023. Dupree gave the Badgers their first 100-yard rusher since Tawee Walker's 126-yard effort in Wisconsin's 23-3 win against Wisconsin last season. Up next, Illinois. The Illini host Northwestern next Saturday. Wisconsin, the Badgers play next Saturday at Minnesota. High school basketball, boys. What to watch in boys basketball this season? Will Foley. Hoops are here. A week after the high school girls basketball season tipped off, the boys are set to do the same. Months of waiting have passed, and anticipation becomes reality on the court. The 2025-26 season looks to have a lot to offer in the area. Electric players, dazzling, fierce rivalries at stake, and several teams contending for trophies. Here are 7 things to watch for this season. How does Mount Zion fare without J.C. Anderson? Head coach Dale Schuring confirmed Friday that star senior center J.C. Anderson won't play basketball to graduate and enroll early at Ole Miss. Already losing a ton of contributors, Anderson's absence leaves a void. Lincoln Kester, the program's all-time leading scorer, and Sam Driscoll Schuring said he unofficially played the most varsity games in Braves history, both graduated with 2 other seniors. Additionally, senior Jacob Harvey will focus on track and field and his football recruitment and won't play either. The Braves will be a young bunch. They have more freshmen 4 than seniors 3 on their roster, with little varsity experience across the board. Despite no Anderson, Mount Zion won't be short in stature. Led by key figures 6'6" junior forward Connor Cuddy and 6'5" senior forward Will Grone, 4 Braves are 6'5" or taller. Cuddy and Grone, who have the most experience along with senior guard Braxton Rose, will be key contributors. Warrensburg Latham tabbed as 2A contenders. The Cardinals notched their 3rd ever 30-win season last year, which ended in a heartbreaking overtime loss to Teutopolis in the sectional final. Although they lose some production, the Cards are considered a favorite to reach Champaign and return with hardware. Warrensburg Latham graduated 4 impactful seniors, guards Caden Gardner and Catrell Lee, and forwards Braden Hickey and Derek Troike. However, several contributors return: junior guard Brennan Bonds, senior guard Nathan Southern, and senior forward Easton McKenzie, headline returning starters who will be impactful. Bonds averaged 10 points and 3 assists, Southern produced 9 points and 3 assists per game, and McKenzie added 8 points and 6 rebounds a night. Head coach Tim Martin said the team will rely on its experience and leadership. Additionally, he said the team's depth and balance will make a difference, that the leading scorer can vary on any given night. WL should repeat as CIC champions and is certainly capable of a deep playoff run. Clinton coach Vic Binkley looks to crack 800 wins coaching top 10. Clinton head coach Vic Binkley is on the brink of history. Entering his 45th year as a head coach, Binkley, who is in his 4th year at Clinton, is 7 wins away from reaching 800 career wins. Reaching 800 career wins would be a 2-for-1 milestone for Binkley. He'll become one of 10 coaches in IHSA history to accomplish the feat. The Maroons are coming off an 18-15 season that ended after running into eventual 2A fourth-place finisher Pure Emanuel in the regional semifinals. They returned 4 starters, including star guard Keaton Graves. More on him later. Tuscola and Warrensburg Latham will challenge Clinton in CIC play, but the Maroons could be a team to watch with all their returning production and the legendary Binkley leading them. What is Maroa Forsyth's ceiling with a healthy Kobe Lane? Maroa Forsyth was 6-4 heading into a matchup against Meridian in January last season when then-junior Kobe Lane tore his ACL, effectively ending his season. The 6'2 guard was averaging 22 points and 7.2 rebounds per game, including a school-record 54 points against Meridian earlier in the season. Lane is working his way back onto the court, and with several key players returning, including 6'4 junior forward Cabron Lee, and the Trojans should improve on last year's 14-15 final record. The question now becomes, how far can they go? Lee averaged 18.5 points and 9.1 rebounds per game, and seniors Kenny Morris, Luke Smith, Kanan Grubbs, and Ryan Shepard all provided experience. Head coach Aaron Ennis said the team will rely on its veteran core. The Sangamo Conference will be highly competitive as Williamsville, Pleasant Plains, Porta, and Auburn all had sound seasons last year. Still, Maroa can shake things up if healthy. How far can Neil Alexander guide Lincoln? The Rail Splitters were efficient, as always, on their way to number 1 seed in last year's postseason. But their season ended with a narrow loss to Mount Zion in the semifinals. How far can the legendary Neil Alexander guide them in 2025-26? Lincoln loses a lot of senior production, but it returns leading scorer Carson Comick. The 6'3" senior guard averaged 13.5 points per game. Senior guard Brody Tungate is another key returner. Alexander can reach a coaching milestone of his own this season. With a 20-win campaign, Alexander would pass the late Steve Kimbrough for the 2nd most wins with 1 school in IHSA history at 839. Alexander would then trail longtime Westchester St. Joseph coach Gene Pingatori at 1,035 wins. Wow. Despite a 23-11 season, the Rail Splitters were in the middle of the pack with a 5-5 record in the Central State 8 play. It's a competitive league, but they should improve that mark. Unity Christian reloads roster looking to make some noise. The Lions are coming off a 14-17 season that wasn't particularly inspiring, but they have reloaded for a 2025-26 season and are poised for a significant improvement. Unity Christian brings back everyone from last season and adds 2 impactful transfers. 6'9" sophomore Carter Young from MacArthur and 6'1" guard Kenyon Greer from Lanphier, who started 26 games last season. The Lincoln Prairie Conference opened up more this offseason as Toledo Cumberland moves to the National Trail Conference. The Pirates went 11-0 in LPC play last year, but now that they're gone, an opportunity is there for a new team to take the crown. Charleston's Oakley, Clinton's Graves chasing school-scoring marks. A pair of school-scoring records are in jeopardy. Charleston senior forward Tyler Oakley currently sits at 1,049 career points and is 413 points away from record holder Derek Landers' mark of 1,462. Oakley averaged 17.1 points per game last year, meaning the same pace would break the record in the 24th game of Charleston's season this year. A first-team All-Apollo selection, the 6'4" Oakley, will be heavily relied on as the Trojans lose several seniors, including fellow 1,000-point scorer Luke Bonstetler. They went 12-21 last year. Clinton's Keaton Graves is also chasing down the Maroons' scoring record. While his totals aren't known, the all-time scoring leader is Ryan Schumacher at 1,696. Anderson graduating early, not playing hoops. We've already referenced that just a moment ago. Will Foley, Mount Zion. Braves star center J.C. Anderson won't be suiting up for basketball season. Mount Zion head coach Dale Schuring confirmed Friday. Instead, the four-star tight end Ole Miss commit will graduate early this winter and then head to Oxford. A two-time IBCA 3A All-State nominee, a third-team selection in 2023-24, and a special mention last year, Anderson played an integral role in leading the Braves to a 3A fourth-place finish in the 2023-24 season and a sectional finals appearance last year. In the 24/7 Sports composite rankings, the 6'7" Anderson ranks as the 230th football recruit in the country. He's the number 11 overall tight end and is the 7th highest-rated player in Illinois. Along with Anderson, fellow football star wide receiver defensive back Jacob Harvey won't be hitting the hardwood this year either. Harvey will focus his efforts on football and track and field in the spring. Mount Zion also graduated all-time leading scorer Lincoln Kester. Williams leads win against Steelers. Andrew Seligman, Associated Press. Boy, the cardiac kids. The Bears are winning close, but they're winning. That's my commentary. Now under the article, Chicago, Caleb Williams threw for 3 touchdowns and the Bears beat the Pittsburgh Steelers 31-28 in a matchup of division leaders on Sunday with Chicago's old nemesis Aaron Rodgers sidelined by a broken wrist. Rodgers is 25-5 against the Bears from his long tenure in Green Bay. He once famously turned to the crowd at Soldier Field and screamed that he still owns Chicago, but the 4-time MVP didn't get the chance to show if that's still the case. Rodgers, who turns 42 on December 2nd, was hurt in the second quarter of a 34-12 win over Cincinnati last week. He wore a brace when he practiced Friday on a limited basis, but the Steelers 6-5 went with Mason Rudolph in his place and fell into a first-place tie with Baltimore in the AFC North. The NFC North, leading Bears 8-3, won for the 8th time in 9 games. After rallying in the final 2 minutes, the previous 3 weeks, they held on to a lead late this time. Pittsburgh pulled within 3 when Rudolph found Pat Freiermuth for a 3-yard score with 6.5 minutes remaining to cap a 17-play drive. The Steelers had the ball near midfield in the closing minute when Grady Jarrett tipped a 4th-down pass at the line, sealing the win for Chicago. Williams, who was shaky at Minnesota last week despite setting a franchise single-season record with his 5th fourth-quarter comeback, found his rhythm in the second half after consistently overthrowing receivers in the first 2 quarters. He was 19 of 35 for 239 yards against a team that came in allowing a league-worst 261.7 yards passing per game. Williams was also strip-sacked by T.J. Watt in the end zone early in the second quarter, and the Steelers' Nick Herbig recovered the fumble for a touchdown. DJ Moore had 5 receptions for 64 yards and 2 touchdowns after catching just 1 pass over the previous 2 games. He caught a 5-yard TD in the first quarter, and his 25-yard score early in the third gave Chicago a 24-21 lead. Colston Loveland had a touchdown catch. Kyle Monongai ran for a score, and Montez Sweat had 2 sacks. Rudolph, who returned to Pittsburgh for a 2nd stint when he signed in March, settled down after throwing an interception on his first pass. He was 24 of 31 for 171 yards with a touchdown. Kenneth Gainwell, coming off one of his best days of his career, had 92 yards rushing, including a 55-yarder that led to a touchdown late in the first half. He caught 7 passes for 81 yards and 2 touchdowns last week against Cincinnati and finished with 105 total yards. DK Metcalf and Jaylen Warren each ran for a TD for the Steelers. Injuries: Steelers cornerback Joey Porter Jr. hurt his leg in the first half and returned to the game before exiting in the third quarter with a hip injury. Metcalf, ankle, hobbled to the sideline in the second and third quarters. OT Broderick Jones suffered a stinger in the fourth quarter. Bears linebacker Ruben Hippolyte, shoulder, and cornerback Tyreek Stevenson, hip, exited the game. Both were hurt in the first half. Defensive lineman Damique Robinson was evaluated for a concussion in the fourth quarter. Up next, Steelers host Buffalo next Sunday. The Bears visit Philadelphia on Friday. We're kind of in that strange time where we have a couple minutes left, and the Decatur four-day forecast usually wraps it up, but we may have some time to read something else. So we're on B8, Decatur four-day forecast today. Low clouds, high of 57, wind west-southwest, 6 to 12. Tonight, colder, breezy late, low of 34, wind west 10 to 20. Wednesday, windy and cooler, high of 41, low of 26, wind west-northwest 15 to 25. Thursday, sunny and chilly, high of 37, low of 21, wind west-northwest 10 to 20. Friday, cloudy and cold, high of 34, low of 26, wind west-northwest 6 to 12 miles per hour. The regional outlook: low clouds today, expect less than 2 hours of sunshine with average relative humidity 85% and poor drying conditions. Partly cloudy and colder tonight, breezy late, average relative humidity 70%. The Skywatch: sunrise at 6:51 a.m. and set at 4:33 p.m. Moonrise 11:24 a.m. set at 9:07 p.m. The Real Feel today at 8 a.m. 51, 53 at noon, also 53 at 4, and 47 at 8 p.m. Weather history: the Great Appalachian Storm of 1950. Began on November 25th. Wind gusted to 76 miles per hour at Central Park in New York City and passed 100 miles per hour in New England. Well, and with that, we will wrap up this second half of the Decatur Herald and Review for Tuesday, November 25th, 2025. This has been Atah Durakan. I want to wish you and yours a very happy and safe and healthy Thanksgiving. And until the rest or the next time that we can read together, I hope you enjoy the rest of your week. Have a great day, great Thanksgiving. Be well, stay safe, and take care.